it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This podcast is a shortened version of our latest Patreon episode, our SBW membership platform, where you can listen to an extra Derby County podcast each month, all year round, get a welcome pack for signing up, bonus video content, competitions, and big discounts on our Steve Bloomer's Washing Derby County merchandise range coming this summer. Plus, you'll be supporting our independent fan content and you'll help keep the podcast going. So head over to patreon.com/Steve Bloomer's Washing to find out more and sign up for just the price of a coffee each month. On with the show.
The season might be over, but we're not done yet. Hello, you're listening to Steve Bloomer's Washing on Patreon. Thank you so much for your support this season. We really appreciate it and we really love all the extra engagement we get from you guys on the Discord in particularly. The dust has settled. The wounds are healing, hopefully. And yes, I've checked and Derby are still in League One. But this season, it wasn't about the destination. It was the journey, as they say. Usually when things have maybe gone wrong. I am Richard Kutcher, and for our Alternative Awards episode, a tongue-in-cheek look at Derby County's campaign, I'm delighted to say we are joined by Tom Martin, passing a late fitness test. Tom, how are you doing?
Yeah, much better than I was earlier this week. I think if it had been December, I might have ruled myself out of the running, but due to the fact it's playoff week, I'm saying that I'm fit for 90 minutes. I could probably only do 35.
And nailing down a first team spot on the SBW roster once again, it's Blake Fallows. Blake, are you over the 22-23 season disappointment just yet?
Yeah, just about. It took a few days of sulking and feeling sorry for myself, like I was somehow involved in the season and how it ended up. But yeah, I'm kind of over it now, and I'm philosophical.
We're gonna go through six categories on this podcast, this Alternative Awards podcast. I think it's probably the worst possible episode that Chris has got me to host, because as most people know, regular listeners, I am, my memory is like kind of an 85-year-old dementia-ridden goldfish. So I don't know quite how I'm gonna deal. We're recording some of these, but this is why we've got Blake and Tom on the pod to help us through. So we've got six categories. But before we dive in, gents, we put out on Twitter how Derby fans would rate Paul Warne's first season in charge. And yeah, mixed response, I'd say. Obviously, he joined 9 games into the season. His final league record stood at 37 games, 17 wins, 11 draws. And 8 defeats. Feels like more defeats for some reason. 8 defeats. And some of the responses we got on Twitter were pretty mixed. A lot of sixes, a lot of 6.5s. We've got six. Stephen Pickering said 6. Kind of like that sub who comes on for 20 minutes, doesn't do anything wrong, but doesn't have much impact either. DCFC Stephen, another 6 out of 10. Decent enough to stay on for another crack at it next season. But on the flip side, I personally believe not making the playoffs is a massive failure given that unbeaten run and where we found ourselves. Good summer window, and I'd be positive we'd gain promotion next season. A 5 from Daz Cook, whose Twitter handle is Daz. 5 from Daz. The good run was followed by mediocrity at the wrong time. Don't like the constant jokiness when things are going well, and then finger pointing and criticism of the players' attitudes when it's not going as well. Don't like his style of play much, but let's see what happens. Classic Only Child, one of our patrons, said 5. Performance is all about leaving the shirt in better condition than when he received it. We've moved neither forwards nor backwards. 6.5 from Tim Walker. Mimi J said 6 out of 10. Harrison 4, good in spells but fell short. So yeah, pretty mixed. I don't think I see anything more than a 6 on there. There's some sarcastic 10s from Forest fans, of course. Paul Warren gave an interview, quite a long in-depth interview on Rams TV a couple of weeks ago, when he did say that he felt like the season was a failure, because I think he expected of himself and of the squad to get into the playoffs. And I do, if you haven't listened to that interview, I do recommend listening to it, because he does talk a lot about, you know, there's definitely going to be major surgery of that squad this summer. I think more outs than people expect, and then obviously plenty of ins because we need them. So worth checking it out. But let's then take maybe a lighter look back at the season and onto our alternative awards, which of course means nothing whatsoever, but you know, it's our way of bookending this campaign. A twist on the traditional goal of the season first. Among Derby's 87 goals in all competitions was a few rockets, howitzers, screamers, fronkers, thunder bastards, as Chris of course would say, whatever you want to call them. So our first award is simply based on this.
Shit! Did you see that? He must have a foot like a traction engine.
So what was Derby's best screamer this season? The foot like a traction engine winner. I guess, Tom, what is the criteria for foot like a traction engine? Is it just something which has hit really, really bloody hard, where it kind of could throw the goalkeeper backwards into the net? Is that what we're looking for here?
I'm wanting the commentators to make the ridiculous thing that not even two goalkeepers would have saved that chance. That's what I want to hear from the commentary. I think, yeah, you're right, Kutch. Like a long range, sort of lined up, and that could be on the volley, it could be from the floor, lined up and just hit it so sweetly. You're like, as soon as it's hit, you're like, that's going places. And it screams into the back of the net and it almost bounces back out of the net without bouncing, because it's hit so hard. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for from this category.
So we do have a few contenders based on that criteria, Tom. Obviously, Max Bird away at Cheltenham. Obviously, you and Blake both had the pleasure of being there right behind that one. Lewis Dobbin against Torquay in the Cup. I think that was it from a corner and the volley just kind of down off the, I think it was off the bar and in. Absolutely incredible volley. I mean, Hayden Roberts, definitely a surprising one. Pass from Connor Harahan, kind of towards the corner of the box. And yeah, he just put his foot through it, didn't he? Right through the middle of the ball into the far top corner. So Blake, maybe it isn't a different one, but I think it's probably between those three. What would be your pick for the foot like a traction engine award?
For my view of it, I was directly behind Max Bird's goal at Cheltenham, and the way it moved away at the very, very, very last second, it couldn't have been any more perfect the way it ended up in the top corner. So for me, it was that one. I think that's just, they're all good goals, aren't they? But I think that was just being right behind that, and it was kind of straight-ish, and then it just moved away perfectly at the last minute. It was one of them, and we've just had one cliche from Tom about what commentators say, and it was like, yeah, he could hit that 100 times. He wanted it like that again. It was honestly, he just caught it absolutely perfectly. So for me, it's got to be Max Bird at Cheltenham.
I tend to agree. I think the Lewis Dobbin one is almost it's too much technique involved for it to be this kind of award winner. If it was best technical goal of the season, I think Lewis Dobbin's would probably be in of a greater shout. But I don't know if you know what I mean by that, Tom. I think it's just too much technique involved, whereas both Birds and Roberts was really kind of foot through it.
Yeah, I'd agree. And also I agree with Blake with regards to the Bird goal. I think the nature of the away end, Chris and I were a little bit to the right of you, Blake, that day. And I felt that I was directly behind that. As soon as he hit it, I was like, that's a goal. And it sort of swung. And I think the way that it moved, it meant that because of the angle from going from the centre into the far corner, it was perfect angle for me in terms of like it going straight into the net. And it was an unbelievable hit and a brilliant game as well. A great start to the game. The Dobbin goal, I remember, Kutch, when we went to Shrewsbury and Dobbin came from the bench, I think, that day. And you could just see he had a little bit more than some of the other players. Played a lovely like a little chipped ball, which sort of like, it was a bit like a pitching wedge into the box. And you could see he was a quite exciting player. Never really kicked on. And when he scored that goal against Torquay, I was like, wow, it's unbelievable technique. And I really thought then he'd go on and do something decent for us. And it never quite happened. He never really sort of flickered into life fully. Hayden Roberts, I think, technically, again, started the season slowly and really grew into it and became much more confident. And that goal against Shrewsbury was a brilliant strike as well, with his left foot. But for me, I would say Bird definitely has his foot like a traction engine.
Yeah, I think unanimous on this category. I think Max Bird edges that over Dobbin because of the type of goal, it just fits better into this category. The Hayden Roberts strike is a brilliant one, but I just don't think it's quite as emphatic as Bird's. Although it was probably even more surprising than Max Bird's. So let's give that one. Max Bird, congratulations, sir. Probably the most pleasing award you've won of your career to date, I expect. So underachiever of the season. So from one of the best goals of the season to maybe an underachiever of the season. This was one suggested by patron Jason Ives. I think there's probably a few contenders here, all with the exception maybe of Chester have blown a bit of hot and cold. James Collins has been put in here, a potential underachiever of the season. I think it's fair to say at the start of the season, particularly, a lot of chances went begging. I still look back at that Charlton away day. I think it was second game of the season. You both would have been there. I wasn't. I was in America at the time. And Collins had a couple of great chances that day. I still feel that if he put a couple of those away in the first half, he would have had a very different season than Derby, and possibly Liam Rossini would have had a very different season this year. So James Collins is in there as maybe an underachiever. Obviously, James Chester played a handful of games. Maximum, that's no fault of his own, I imagine. Tom Barkhuizen, I think Tom Barkhuizen can be a bit unlucky here because he just doesn't seem to have given much of a chance, particularly in the run-in, which was I found a bit surprising. Louis Sibley still, I think, frustrates a lot of fans. And then Harvey White obviously joined in loan in January and probably didn't get the kind of game time that he was looking for. So Tom, for you, underachiever of the season, who out of those five, or maybe someone else, kind of do you think maybe deserves this undeserving award?
It's a tough one, really, I think. And I think I'd agree with you, Kutch, at the top of that, what you were saying there. I think the Collins, especially, he had so many chances in that Charlton game, and he had a number of chances before he then scored his first goal, which, again, I might be wrong, but I think maybe it was Plymouth at home, but it took him a bit of time to settle, and you were sort of hoping for a Stevie Howard-esque season, and it never quite came, and he sort of flattered to deceive a lot, and I don't think he was like good enough for us up top through the middle, and I think we had problems going forward with him there, and I think if we'd had someone maybe different, whether or not who that would have been, I don't know. So therefore, I think, yeah, Collins would have been the underachiever this season. There's a lot of like hope for him, especially with the goals he'd scored for Luton and other sides around. And I just think I've been a bit disappointed with him. And I think he'll play a bit part next year rather than a key role like he has done this year.
The comparing the expectation of Collins to the Steve Howard season is absolutely bang on for me. I expected for him to be a Championship club last season. I mean, he didn't feature an awful lot and didn't score many goals, but you think he's dropping down a level with us. James Collins, I think I expected maybe 15-20 goals. He hasn't done enough for me, I don't think, to be a number nine striker in League One. And we've been very lucky with the season Dave McGoldrick's had, that it's kind of masked that slightly. But if you're going into next season, are you going to have another incredible season from David McGoldrick, or do you need someone alongside him up there? If he signs, that is, I'm being very presumptuous, but do you need someone who's going to go out and guarantee you at least 15 goals, maybe 20 goals? Is James Collins that player? I don't think so. For me, it's a difficult one because it's not like he's had a terrible season. I'm just very underwhelmed by his season. I think that's probably the criteria, Kutch. I don't know. It's been an underwhelming season for him, for me. So I'd have to go with James Collins.
Okay, Blake's definitely going to lead the way for us on this next category. Best away limbs, scenes of the season. I'm going to run through five here, which kind of spring to mind for us. And as ever with me, Tom and Chris, we got to a decent number of away games this season. We managed to skirt every single one of these, which definitely is true to form in terms of our fortune when we do go to follow Derby away. Port Vale, the late winner from Nathaniel Mendes-Lang in front of an away end. That looked absolutely incredible. The David McGoldrick brace away at Exeter is another option. Accrington Stanley, I think it's quite a famous picture of you, Blake, in the away end behind those two missed penalties by Accrington Stanley, followed by Asula scoring just about 10 seconds later. He goes on to score two goals that game. MK Dons, good away win. I think 6,700 away fans there that day. Sounded pretty good on TV. And it was pretty impressive away following. And then, of course, Liverpool which we lost on penalties in the cup, but 5,500 away fans at Anfield. Blake, for you, which were the best away limbs of the season?
This is a really, really difficult one. For me, you can toss a coin between Accrington and Port Vale. Port Vale was just incredible. We said at the time, it's something Derby County don't do. We don't go and do that. We don't go 1-0 down, playing not the best and pull a result out of nothing. And at that time, it was part of the run. We extended the run with the result. So incredible limbs. But for Accrington Stanley, being on the open terrace, there was more Derby fans there than Accrington fans. The two penalty misses and the goal in the space of about 3 minutes, I think it was. That's one of those things where when you witness it, you go, I'm probably never going to see that again.
Yeah.
Ever. If it's based on limbs, I'll rate the limbs out of 10 for each of those moments that have each of those incidents of it within the 3 minute spell. It was probably a 6 out of 10 for the first penalty miss, probably an 8 out of 10 for the second penalty miss. And what is beautiful and what makes it the ultimate limbs of me of the season is the missed penalty limbs were still continuing when Asulov broke through and scored. So I don't think I've ever been part of some limbs in an away end celebrating one thing when something else happens at the same time. So just for that, it was just incredible to be on an open terrace and that 3 minutes of craziness, just incredible.